When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Leaf Sky Podcast. Here's your host, Jim Taddy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that fine introduction, and welcome to Leaf Sky, episode 134. Jim Taddy with you for the next 25 minutes or so. Our guest today is Dave McCarthy from SiriusXMNHL.com, talking about the Leafs, who after 10 games sit at 5-3-2. Some concerns with a loss in Boston on Thursday night, preceded by a loss at home to L.A. So not exactly humming the way everybody thought it would, but the Leafs are an interesting story, and we'll develop that as we go along. Before we get going, the NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 in any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets, and DraftKings isn't stopping there. Get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code THPN. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 in the NFL. The promo code is THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for complete details. And here's something else you may want to get in on. It may be too early to start decorating for the holidays, but it's never too early to start your holiday shopping. Why not take care of it now before the crowds and packed calendars make shopping a total nightmare, especially when you can get in on some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday. You can shop Raycon products right now, save up to 50% off because their early Black Friday sale is going on now. I have to say, I have the Everyday Earbuds, and they are fantastic. The other day, when the new Beatles song, The Last One, dropped, I immediately inserted the earbuds and had a great listen. It was fantastic. Here's your call to action. Hurry now to buyraycon.com/THPN to get 20 to 50% off site-wide. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/THPN. All right, on to the hockey story. And so one of the pluses for the Maple Leaf team was the forward units. Now, all of a sudden, some of the new guys that have arrived are not living up to their expectations, and the roster shuffle has started. Add that to an injury-riddled blue line, and you have a problem. The goaltending has been pretty strong, so that has been corrected, we think, and we'll take it from there. Here is our conversation with Dave McCarthy from SiriusXMNHL.com. So, Dave, I watched the game on Thursday night. I did the game on Thursday night for TSN 1050, and I left it a little more puzzled in a lot of respects. In terms of they fought back nicely without having to fight back, if you know what I mean. They got back in the game based on good goaltending, and then their skill took over to tie it when it could have been a blowout. So that was impressive. But when I look at the lineup, and clearly Tyler Bertuzzi is on the downslope, hasn't played much in the third period on Tuesday and Thursday, and I'm going, what could they possibly do to make this guy work out?
Yeah, it was disappointing to see his performance on Thursday against Boston, Jim, for a number of different reasons. One, we're 10 games into the year at this point? Like, that's well over 10%. That's like 15% of the season. And I really haven't had a run of games, or even really one game, if we're being honest, where I've watched Bertuzzi's play and thought, okay, well, there's a real value add there. There's an upgrade to what they had on the left side last year. I haven't had that yet. It really looks like he's still trying to carve out his niche, figure out the role that he has to play in order to have success. And then two, going up against his former team in the Boston Bruins last night, I was kind of circling that game as an opportunity for him to really have a game. You know what I mean? Like you can point to, there's a Bertuzzi game where he really finds a way to impact the game against his former team. You know, there's always find me a game where a former Leaf doesn't score against the Leafs, right? It seems to happen every single night. So I thought that was a chance, and it not only didn't materialize, but it was like a value loss to the point where, as we saw, Sheldon Keefe had to drop him down the lineup. So that was disappointing. I thought it would be an opportunity for him, if not to contribute offensively, to make his presence felt physically. Didn't see that either. So it's getting to the point now where we're him, and I think you can tie in Max Domi as well. Guys that were brought in the offseason, I think good deals at the time, and still may turn out to be good deals, certainly no risk deals at 1 year, to upgrade what the Leafs had on the left side. And really through this point in the year, in neither case has it materialized.
You know, purely with retrospective analysis, when you look back on it, and I did this live on the air when I was talking to Frankie Corrado on Thursday night, when you realize how difficult it is to find the right piece to play with either Tavares or Nylander or Matthews and Marner, then you almost go back to, boy, they should have signed Zach Hyman, because he was the fit. But obviously there was a term issue, and for whatever reason, and you'd have to go back and you know, do a scalpel to the cap to see just how much problem that would have caused. But he was the guy, and they've had many auditions since, and nobody comes close.
No, really, it hasn't. And I mean, for what he ended up signing for, I know the term was a bit of a sticking point, but how many times have general managers signed deals with term where they close their eyes, gulp, and hope it turns out well? If not, let the next guy take care of it. I'm not saying that's necessarily always a prudent way of doing business, but sometimes it's just the reality of it, right? And for the role that Zach filled in that position with Matthews and Marner, even if you got four out of 7 years, 4 out of 8 years that were good, you know, I think you'd be willing to live with that, because you're right now in your winning window. Yep. The last 4 years, 5 years, I mean, Zach's showing no signs of slowing down. Again, nice to know that now. You didn't know that at the time. It would have informed your pick. So there's a lot of retrospective analysis right here. But I feel like there's a way they could have found to fit him in, and it probably would have been a good decision, because, man, this guy is having a great run in Edmonton. And you know, I think Michael Bunting, the years that he spent there, he was adequate, but I think a downgrade to an extent from Zach. And what I thought was going to be an upgrade, like, I have to be honest in my analysis of my own opinions here, in the offseason, I thought it was an upgrade. Bertuzzi, Domi, and Nyes over Bunting, Kerfoot, and Engvall. So far, that has not turned out to be the case at this point. And if anything, it's been a downgrade to what certainly Michael Bunting delivered last year.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, you just sort of come to that conclusion based on the real story. The real story is they can't find anybody to play with those four elite players. And it's now that it's happened a number of years in a row, you look back on it, and it's easy to say this, that Zach Hyman was the guy. I just, you know, it's remarkable that you could have four guys like that and struggle to find a left winger for either one of those lines. And then when you go down, I mean, you're really promoting Gregor and Nyes, because Bertuzzi isn't getting it done, and Domi is out there too, and I don't see much happening there. And then you go back to the middle, down the middle, and you've got Kampf and Holmberg, which to me are both number four centers. They're offensively challenged, all due respect, but there's no number three center, and that's an ongoing issue too.
That is going to be an issue. David Kampf and Pontus Holmberg are fine to get you from game one to game 50 of the regular season. But make no mistake, if David Kampf is your number three center, or Holmberg, you know, slot them however it is you see fit, that's not going to be nearly good enough to take you on a deep run. They're going to need to go out and find a centerman, without question. I mean, David Kampf is, I think, a very good fourth line center. Yeah. I think Pontus Holmberg is a you know, if you want to use a baseball reference, he's a quad A guy. You know, he's a good AHL player. He's a serviceable NHL player when you need somebody to give you 5 or 6 or 7 games if someone's hurt. But I don't think he should be a guy that you pen into your lineup and say, okay, we'll plug that guy in that slot, and we can't possibly do better than that in that slot. I think you can. So they need a center. In terms of the left side, like, I don't know about you, Jim, where are you at with Matthew Nyes? Because he's the commodity to me that still has the least amount known about him. I'd like to see him get a run of games in the top six to see how he would slot. Because I do like how his game complements other players in terms of the styles that Tavares, Nylander have, or Matthews, Marner have. Like, Nyes is not a guy that is going to want to carry the puck really through the middle of the ice, but he can if need be. He's a big body, so he's not afraid to go along the walls and dig the puck out. He's willing to go to the front of the net and create havoc. And if he isn't doing that out of instinct, I think he would be willing to do so if informed that that is what you need to do to play on that line. I think he would be willing to do that, you know, based on the conversations that I've had with him off the record. I think he's a very amenable guy to doing whatever it is to solidify himself and help the team. So I'd like to see him get not like 1 or 2 games and then he turns the puck over in the first period of game 3 and rip down the lineup. Like, commit to him for like 10 games and see if there's a steady progression, as you always like to say, Jim, if things trend upwards. And if so, there might be an answer there, because I don't think we really know if he is the answer or if he's not right now, because we haven't seen enough.
Yeah, you know, I was a little more cautious at the start of the year. I thought, well, they should just keep him on the third line and have him learn the league and figure out how to play 82 games. But because of what's transpired from our earlier conversation, they have to move him up. And quite frankly, he's not going to generate any offense playing with Kemp and Domi.
No.
You know, there was some chemistry with Domi and Nyes, but that seems to have dissipated. And so you need an offensive center to play with. So for me, playing him with Tavares and Nylander works.
Yeah, I mean, the chemistry we saw with Nyes and Domi was what, the third period of the Tampa game a couple of weeks ago when they scored twice, and then really nothing since then. So, you know, I think Nyes, like, I think we get carried away, shockingly, in Leafland. not you or I, but, you know, certainly some people who follow the team. Matt Nyes, he gets hyped up. He's this shiny object coming, and, you know, well, that guy's going to go score 30 goals and 70 points. That may not necessarily be the case. But what I think he's capable of doing is banging in 15 to 20 and playing a real effective role on that line. And that's good. Like, that would be fine if that is the role that he filled up the lineup. Again, Matthews and Marner are going to command a lot of the offensive oxygen, but you need a guy to complement them. And I feel like he has the skill set to do so, but I can't confirm or deny, as it were, because we haven't seen enough of him in that role. But I don't think he's going to cost you when he's on the ice. So I would really like to see a run there. Otherwise, I feel like he's kind of getting wasted down the lineup, where with you know, Kemp and Domi or Holmberg and Domi or whoever it might be, it's just a guy going on the ice for 12 to 14 minutes and you hope he doesn't hurt you, but he's not really doing much to help you either.
Yeah, there's very few offensive opportunities. My only concern with him, and I think he needs the look in the top six, would be played in the prospects tournament, had a full camp, and this is a kid out of NCAA hockey. So, I mean, that's going to be a long year for him, so he's going to have some ups and downs. But
he's a specimen, right?
Like, he is. And actually, you know, covering training camp, as you know, he looked like he had matured 3 years over the summer.
Holy cow. Like, I remember the day that I first met him in person at the prospects camp. Oh, geez. I think it was the year that he was drafted. So when was that? Like 3 years ago now?
Yeah.
And, well, yeah. And I
didn't come out early.
Right. Well, yeah, no, I mean, he was at development camp, I should say, in the summertime in July. Yeah. And I'm like, that's him? The guy looks like he's 32 years old at the age of 19. You know, and that's 3 years ago, and he's only matured since then. So this is not like a 5'8 guy, a 160 coming out of the NCAA who's used to playing 28 games a year. Like, he's got a man's body. So I think he's got the frame to handle the rigors of an NHL season from a physical standpoint. I really do. It's just, can you slot him in a role that that puts him in a position to succeed? And like I said, I think he's got the skill set to play with quality players. And I think if you put him with quality players, he'd be able to help you more than he's helping you in the role he's in right now.
Well, I agree with that. I just think that, you know, once again, somebody has had to, I guess, be pushed up the lineup because somebody in front of him didn't do the job properly. And so if he goes up there and succeeds, where does that leave Bertuzzi? Does he play with Kemp and Domi? And if so, that's a colossal waste of money on a third line.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal. But what I would say to that is if that line finds some form of way of contributing to the game, you can live with that on a 1 year term. Like, for instance, if you know you put Bertuzzi, Kemp, and Domi together, and they run around, they're pains in the ass. Like they have that ability within their toolbox, right? If they choose to play that way, right. Certainly Bertuzzi and Domi do. So far, by and large this year, I haven't seen them choose to do that nearly often enough, which is concerning because that's part of why they were brought in, right? The yep. Snot and the piss and vinegar comment from Brad in the off season.
I know.
And, like they're playing like they've taken a lot of Claritin.
I was just going to come up with something like that. It's not problem. Well, the sinus is bone dry.
The sinus is cleared up. So that's my point. Like, if you play those guys together and they run around and they bang away and they're just royal pains in the ass for 15 minutes a night against another team's even second line, you can probably match those guys up with. And they don't score a ton, but they chip in here and there. But they wear on the opponent. Okay, fine. I can live with that on 1 year deals. You know, if it's if you've signed a guy to an 8 year deal at 10 sheets, and he's skating around like Pepe Le Pew out there, like Jonathan Huberdeau in Calgary, that I can't live with.
There's some wild visuals in our conversation today. But, wacky stuff.
But let's be honest, that's what's happening. I thought he was healthy scratch in the Heritage Classic, honest to God. I really, really thought he was a healthy scratch. That's a problem. But on a one-year deal, you run around, they both have those in that skill set in their toolbox, Bertuzzi and Domi. If they choose to use it, I can live with that. So long as the top six are rolling along and doing their thing. And, you know, Matthews and Marner, I would expect to improve. They were, I think, better than they had been last night in a little while. And if you move Nyes up there and he works, that's good. And Nylander is playing the best hockey I've seen him play. And Tavares looks like he's 2 or 3 years younger, to be honest with you, the way he's playing this year. Yeah. And then that Bertuzzi-Domi camp line, it finds a niche. Like, that's good. There's no problem there if that's the case.
Well, yeah, because they're both on 1 year contracts. But well, you said something about, you know, they have the ability to do that, and they do, and everybody understands that. But it seems that it only happens in an ad lib situation, like those two Domi assists in Tampa, because, you know, they happened because the puck was on a stick and he just started to play and he made the nice setups. And for some of that, the snot from Bertuzzi, you see it from time to time because it sort of has to happen because he's in the middle of it. But you don't see, like, from the opening shift on, you don't see that shift after shift after shift. It just shows up at times.
Yes. No, I'm completely with you. And what's concerning is that, you know, for the first two or three games of the year, because they were all three of them were at home, I remember them vividly, we saw fairly consistent examples of that type of play, of you know, guys getting their nose dirty in a scrum, and pushing and shoving a little bit. And I remember the narrative was like, holy cow, who are these Leafs? Haven't seen that since, like, Gary Roberts was kicking around. And that seems to have kind of gone away again. And you're right. Like, Domi and Bertuzzi, they have a skill set. They can, they're not just muckers, but their skill set to me only comes to the fore when they're involved in the game, fit, like when they wade into the muck. When they're wading into the muck, then their skill set seems to come to the fore. If they're going into the game expecting to beat teams with skill alone, that's not going to work, because that's, they're not good enough to play that way. So that to me is a concern. Like, they need to re-engage physically. I there were a bunch of times last year where, when Max Domi was in Chicago and people took liberties with Patty Kane, like, this guy went full WWE. And, you know, and I'm not saying that you have to do that all the time, but, you know, for instance, like, it would have been nice if somebody had at least gave Bradley Marchand a hairy eyeball last night at at minimum.
Well,
like, that was a little bit concerning to see, to be honest with you.
Well, and so was the shot on the bench.
Right? Like, nobody.
Well, Reeves was chirping, but.
Like, okay. You know, and all he can do is chirp, because he's not going to be on the ice with Brad Marchand. And Bertuzzi kind of giggling. And I always said in the morning, he realized after playing with Brad that he's full of you know what.
I know, but like, one of your players just got hurt on the play and could be out for a significant time.
It's not funny. It's like, and I don't know if Brad was mic'd up or if we'll ever find it out, but I'm sure it won't be much different than what Evander Kane was saying in the Heritage Classic, which was, what is anybody here going to do about it? Anybody going to do it? No, nobody's, you know what I mean? So that was really concerning to see, because that's not how teams that go on deep runs go on deep runs. You take liberties with a guy, and it's just, it's made clear, Jim, that that is not going to fly tonight.
Well, look, we all know that in the playoffs, that happens every shift. There's a challenge, and you better be up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was disappointing that way, but I did applaud the fact that really it was Samsonov with a couple of key saves after it was 2-0 that sort of rallied the offense, and oddly enough, and they bought back in and figured out a way how to get a point out of that game, because if Samsonov doesn't make those key saves, that's a blowout.
Yeah, it was. So, and that's why, you know, I thought they played better certainly than they did against the Kings.
Oh, but we've seen that one before, haven't we?
Oh yeah, we have. That was a check, please, from the morning skate almost, really. Like, there was just no interest in playing that game. They were better than they were against the Kings, but you make a very good point. I thought Ilya Samsonov was really, really good. Molodets to Ilya Samsonov, which means good job in Russian. I was taught that. He was very excited when I laid that on him the other day at practice.
Oh, he didn't. I was going to say, the person who taught you, were they laughing when they taught you, or I guess they were legit?
No, they were legit. This was a few weeks ago. I know a girl who's Russian. I said, give me some words that I can say. I know a guy who's Russian. I need to expand my vocabulary. Like, how do you say good job, good game? And she was like, molodets. So I'm like, gotta use that one. And that was the time to pull that out. And it's why I tweeted what I did prior to the shootout, because the shootout is irrelevant to me. The way he played during the actual run of play was the reason why the Leafs were able to get at least a point out of that game against the Bruins. It's a shame that he has to walk away having lost the game in the shootout, given the fact that he's clearly been going through a bit of a crisis of confidence. You hope that the coaching staff can go to him and say, the hell with the shootout. I need you walking away feeling good about yourself, because you essentially earned us a point. And I thought he did. He was really, really good during the run of play in regulation and overtime.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, their margins are so slim because of the problems now with the forward units that they can't afford to have soft goaltending, that's for sure. And with the injuries on the blue line, that goaltending is now, as I like to say, non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable, much like, you know, much like Buffalo this past week, where you thought they had a lot of goalies coming into the year, and then suddenly Devin Levi's out for a while, and Eric Comrie's out for a while, and it's Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and buddy, here's your chance. You've been wanting it. You better be good now, because if they had a bad week in Buffalo, they would have been in a real tight spot. But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen really stepped up and was a big reason why Buffalo ended up having a successful week. And we'll probably get to see him up close on Saturday night. It's much the same here in Toronto. Whether it's Samsonov or Wall, both are going to need to be really good, because the blue line is in a tight spot right now. Like, we'll get a better idea what's going on with Liljegren, but he's going to miss significant time. I mean, that to me looked like, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, but that's either a broken leg or a tear of significance.
High ankle sprain is what I would
call it. High ankle sprain potentially. Yeah. That just looked really, really ugly. So he's going to miss long term. Jake McCabe, I would expect not Saturday. Maybe Monday. I think they're going to want to get him back in a practice, which will likely occur Sunday. But that means Saturday, they're probably going to have a guy like Simon Benoit in the lineup along with William Lagesson. And you got a guy in Giordano who's 40 years of age. So you're asking a lot right now of your blue line and your goaltending. But hey, no excuse, right? No excuse. Look at Boston. No McAvoy, no Grizzlick, no Forbert, no problem.
Yeah. And just to update, those on the scene saw Liljegren get on the team bus to leave Boston to head to the airport without any walking aid, no boot or anything like that. So
that's good news.
He was walking with a limp, but he didn't have any kind of machinery to help him. So I want to expand my vocabulary. What was that you said to Samsonov?
Mulligets.
Mulligets?
Mulligets. D-I-E-T-S, I guess.
Whatever. Mulligets, Dave.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you. You're more than welcome, Jim.
Last minute of play in this podcast.
All right, Mike Ross, thank you very much for the time warning. Lickety-split, yes guy, no guy on the way out. Secondary scoring is a problem. Oh, really, guy? Yes guy, it is. The top four can do it, but boy, it's tough finding the left side in each one of those top two lines. And then you get to the third line and the fourth line, and the centers are not offensively inclined. So secondary scoring is a problem. Yes guy, it is. Yes guy, no guy, number two. The blue line is now too thin. Oh, emphatically, yes, guy, it is. It's injury-riddled now, and so this is a real test for the Maple Leaf front office to try and bolster that blue line. It was thin when the season started. It's thinner now. Yes, guy, no guy, number three, to end it off. Goaltending, now the strength of the team. Well, I'm going to say no guy, but it's a close second. The strength of the team, clearly, are the core players. Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Morgan Rielly. If those around those players could chip in and find an extra gear, we would have a real positive conversation, but we're not. Hope you enjoyed Leaf Sky episode 134. Hope you come back next week for Leaf Sky 135.